It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Illinois prison system has come under a lot of scrutiny in recent months. Back in July, a report from an outside consultant hired by the state estimated there's at least $2.5 billion in deferred maintenance. For the people inside, conditions can be dire, with problems like sewage backups and mold. There's also a significant lack of human connection, with barriers of distance and cost limiting contact with loved ones outside of the prisons. And for those of us who are not in prison and don't have family there, we have little idea of what's being done there in our names by our elected representatives using our tax dollars. So in an attempt to help bridge some of those divides, this weekend, almost every public radio station in Illinois will be airing a special program called Prison Cast. It's a production of public radio station WBEZ in Chicago, which first did a Prison Cast last year. You can hear it this Sunday from 2 to 4 in the afternoon on your local NPR station. It's going to have requests for songs and just sounds like this one from Ron at Sheridan Correctional Center. Okay, this is a 1985 Monte Carlo SS with a 350 small block engine. He requested that. There are also a lot of requests for water sounds. These are waves from the Pacific Ocean. James at Illinois River wanted that. JG at Hill Correctional Center. Meanwhile, Matthew at Big Money wanted the sound of food sizzling on a grill, family barbecue. And Eric at Big Money wanted an ice cream truck.
SpongeBob, please.
Yeah. Joining us now to talk about what we can expect this year is Alex Keefe, who's engagement editor at WBEZ in Chicago, which has organized the project. Al, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Ayanna Contreras will host this year's program, and she's also the content director for Vocalo Radio, a sister station to WBEZ. Ayanna, welcome to you as well.
Hello.
And also with us is Pierre, who is someone who was recently formerly incarcerated. Pierre, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for making the time to be with us today.
You're welcome.
So, Alex, I want to begin with you. I mentioned you're the engagement editor for WBEZ. Can you just talk a little bit about what that means in the context of Prison Cast?
Yeah, for sure. So Prison Cast is a really, really big, involved engaged journalism project. And when we talk about engaged journalism, what we're referring to is really a little bit of a different method of doing journalism than what you might think of, where reporters and editors say, hey, here's what the story is. I'm going to go report this story. We start from a slightly different place. We begin reporting. Before we report or produce anything, we identify a community we want to be serving. We say, all right, let's find ways to listen to this community. Let's do surveys. Let's have meetings. In fact, Pierre, we were at a meeting downstate recently with you just a couple months ago talking about this project. So it really starts from a place of listening. And then we decide, all right, so based on what we heard, let's see what we're going to make. Let's see what we're going to cover. Let's see what we're going to build and how we're going to build it, you know, with and for the community we want to be serving.
Ayanna, can you tell us a little bit more about what listeners can expect when they tune in?
Well, I guess it depends on who's listening, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the great thing about broadcasting is you can highlight specific audiences, but yet include other people in that conversation. The thing about WBEZ, and one of the things that brought me to Chicago public media more broadly, is that part of our DNA is really about convening groups of people that otherwise might not have a conversation with one another. And to your point about folks inside not really having a voice, this is an opportunity to sort of hear their perspective on what is really going on and what their needs are. I know that, and we might be jumping ahead a little bit, but I know that, you know, there might be someone out there thinking to themselves, why would you center these people who have allegedly or been convicted of, you know, these sometimes heinous crimes? And, you know, from the very beginning, one of the things that we were very clear on is we need to be clear about what the purpose of going to, of being imprisoned is. Is it strictly about, you know, punitive punishment, or is it about rehabilitation? Like, what happens when folks come out? What happens when they don't have that network? How can we get people that network? How can we get people atonement? These are all things that we're dealing with, in addition to fun sounds and music and just, you know, drawing a highlighter around folks' humanity.
No, that's such a great point. And you hear that a lot from advocates. almost everybody in the Illinois prison system today will be among us again in the future. And we need to be thinking about that as we are enacting policies and setting the tone there. Pierre, I want to bring you into the conversation now. So there's this idea of convening, they said, right? I imagine you have contact when you are in prison with people in your unit. But do you ever feel that sense of community with everybody else? You know, there's 30,000 people in Illinois prisons today.
Well, to a certain extent, because you always want to make sure you stay to yourself and do the right thing and learn from your mistakes in there. So you don't want to associate with everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. So, Al, we need to take a break in a couple of minutes, but maybe you can, when you and I were talking about this the other day in preparation for this conversation, you mentioned kind of leaning into the journalism a little bit more than in last year's broadcast. So just kind of give us a brief overview of some of the journalistic type interviews that are also going to be a part of this broadcast this year.
Yeah, you're right. And as Ayanna said, like a huge mission of PrisonCast is to be providing, you know, moments of joy for people inside and for their loved ones outside who are affected by the carceral system. That's the music. That's the audio. That's a huge mission of it. And we also try to answer questions and discuss topics that folks have requested. Everything that is in this show comes from people in the community we're serving with PrisonCast about what they want to talk about. So we'll have updates about very specific policies and proposals in Springfield that could affect people inside relating to parole or clemency or retroactivity of certain laws relating to those things. We're also talking about conditions and healthcare, the state of conditions and healthcare inside, lots of those. And commissary, that's a big thing we heard too, like people having really high prices, especially with inflation at prison commissary. So those are just a few of the things we're talking about, but a lot of those conversations are taking up a good part of the show this year and also are all things we are hearing directly from people in prison or their loved ones on the outside.
Yeah, no, that's great. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and continue our conversation. We are previewing the PrisonCast, which is going to be on just about every NPR station across Illinois. It's produced by public radio station WBEZ in Chicago. We're talking about it with Alex Keefe, who's one of the leaders on this project, engagement editor at WBEZ. Ayanna Contreras is the host of the program this year. And we are also speaking with Pierre, who is someone who was recently formerly incarcerated. If you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455 is the number to do that. Once again, 800-222-9455. More to come here on the 21st Show in just a moment. Please stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about PrisonCast 2 to 4 this Sunday on your local NPR station. It's a program meant for people inside of Illinois prisons, their loved ones on the outside of the Illinois prison system, and everybody else. Even if you do not think you are touched or connected by the Illinois prison system, we are all electing the officials who run it, and we are all paying for it with our tax dollars as well. We're talking about this with Alex Keefe, engagement editor at WBEZ in Chicago, the public radio station that is producing this program. Ayanna Contreras is the host of the show this year, and we are also talking with Pierre, who is someone who was recently formerly incarcerated here in Illinois. And Pierre, we heard before the break, Al mentioned that one of the things they're going to be talking about is commissary. I understand. What's the food like in the chow hall? What is the food that the state is supposed to be? You know, that three hots in a cot is the old expression, right? What are those three hots like?
Well, I'm going to say it's three hots in the garbage because the food is so terrible to the point that it's not even worth eating it. If you have money or whatever, you can go to the commissary post to be like twice a month, every other week. That was in Illinois River Correctional Center. Mm-hmm. And the prices is so high to the point that it's barely affordable And then the things they serve, I mean, you can purchase their commissary. It's not healthy for you.
And it's so, like junk food, right? Doritos and kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah, and a bunch of candy and like wet packs, as they call processed food, like meats to preserve and stuff.
Okay.
And so it's not healthy at all. And so that's why there's so many health problems in a prison.
And healthcare is one of the other things that Al mentioned that is, and we know there have been all these government reports about how they can't, you know, they don't have enough doctors or nurses for people there. I wonder if you saw that firsthand in your time.
Well, I seen it was a lot of nurses, but on the nurse practitioner and doctors, it was a lack of those. And not caring for the patients is real awful. And then the medicine they give you, they just give it to you. I had an experience one time that they gave me the wrong medicine. They told me to take it. And I was looking at it. I was like, man, that don't look familiar. And they told me to go ahead and take it. And then, like a couple of minutes later, they came back and asked me, did you take it? I said, yeah, you told me to take it. Oh, oops, we gave you the wrong medicine. Here go a Benadryl. Sit here in a healthcare for like an hour just to make sure I ain't have a reaction. And so it's like they don't let you see what you take, and they just bring it to you and tell you to take it. And so it was like there's no sympathy in there or in how is the living conditions in there. And it's just a poor healthcare system. And there's one issue I would like to talk about. It's like in Illinois River, it was like 14 people in the healthcare system. Some was like disabled and stuff like that. And for all them 14 people, you only had one phone to use, and you only had a certain amount of time to use it, everybody to use it within an hour and a half. And a lot of time, people didn't use the phone, and the guard didn't even care. And you might have some young guy in the healthcare system for some mild symptoms, but you got this older person in there that can't barely walk or is in a wheelchair trying to outrun a guy or outwheel a guy to the phone. And
so you're almost competing to get a phone call to have your healthcare consultation or whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's one more thing I would like to speak about that put my health risk in jeopardy. When one day I was in a room they assigned me to, this was back in December, this past December, that he was bleeding all over the room because he was on blood thinner, but he had hepatitis and stuff like that. And I kept on complaining, this guy got blood all over the room, which he couldn't help. But you put me in this room, and he had blood all over the light fixture and the doors because he had to get out the door.
Oh, my God.
And they it was a lack of care, like, oh, well, this what it is in prison. But you put my life in jeopardy and stuff like that. So I complained about that, which is when unnoticed, they didn't care, just okay, deal with it.
Yeah.
And then gave me some like watered down bleach to clean it myself.
You know, Ayanna, I think this gets at something. We're certainly hearing about the terrible conditions that Pierre experienced in that context. And I know that you all got a lot of letters. And you deal, that's interesting, you deal mostly with snail mail is the way that you communicate with people who are incarcerated here in Illinois. But can you talk to that? You touched on this a little bit earlier. You know, we imagine, and I don't know if this is how many people out there are thinking like this, but you imagine there are people like, well, you know what, you did the crime. Do the time. Who really cares about what the conditions are in Illinois prisons? I know you think a lot about that as you all are putting together this program.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to your point, you know, it's like, do the crime and then what is my question? And that's really more of a question than a prescriptive, right? Because, you know, you had mentioned before the break that most folks do get out afterwards. And do you want that experience to be a moment to where they're in a cocoon and they come out a better person, or do you want them to not even survive the time in? You know, not to say that there's only two choices here, but there is a spectrum of experience that we're hearing more and more from people where, you know, the term cruel and unusual punishment is a cliche for a reason, because it's real and it can be real. And it's like, what involves the idea of putting someone behind bars? Like, is that person allowed to eat meals that sustain them, as opposed to, you know what I'm saying? There, what was it? We were reading that article with the Marshall Project, and they were talking about the commissary and talking about how dramatically bad some of that food can be. And I don't want to name any particular brand names, you know.
No, but yeah, there's I think it was the Marshall Project. This is a number of years ago now. You can go online and look at, they had this sort of photo essay of like what different prisons in different states consider a reasonable meal. And it's striking. It is very striking.
And that's the other part, you know, that we haven't really dealt with. Just, I mean, not to like hammer home this commissary deal, but let's say a packet of ramen is like $2, which in and of itself is expensive. And a lot of these folks are making on average nationally, what was it, like 50 cents an hour, something like that, if they are working?
Higher end of what you could make.
That's the higher end?
Yeah.
So if you think about that, how long would it take for someone
30.
To afford?
Pierre is signaling 30. You're in the studio.
30, okay. Yeah, because I mean, yeah. So you think about that, and then you sort of, you know, scaffold on the concept that, you know, they're not making this money, which I mean, I understand that how much money are they supposed to be making? But if some of these chow halls close or feed people at the latest at 4:30 at night and they're working, you know what I'm saying? Like they're scrubbing and doing all these things. How do you expect an adult person to not literally be, you know, rumbles of hunger at the end of the day?
Yeah, Pierre, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I would like, because on the facility, two facilities I was in, Galesburg, which is Hills Correction, and Illinois River, we was doing it in Galesburg, a garden for battered women. And we had, you know, a different type of vegetable that we did for the battered women. And in Illinois River, we was doing a garden. But it would be good if they can do these gardens in each joint and provide these vegetables and fruit to the facility at a cheaper price, because a bag of seeds or any type of vegetables or whatnot don't cost nothing. So it's a way that can better the healthcare system if you be able to purchase a little vegetables from the garden that we were. Steady the officer getting the vegetables that we did in the garden, or is giving it to other people, which I'm all for helping anybody, but help the facility that you are doing the garden for and bring the vegetables in. And then the health care, the insurance and all that stuff wouldn't be that high.
Yeah. Okay, we've only got a few minutes left in our conversation, and I do want to take a moment to talk about this idea of atonement, which is also something that's going to come up, sort of an extraordinary conversation in the Prison Cast. We're going to listen to just a brief excerpt. This is from a person named Lisa Daniels. Her son, Darren, was murdered in 2012, but she went to the judge and urged a lenient sentence for the man who shot her son because she said she didn't want another mother to lose her child through incarceration.
I think a lot of people think that they would never have the capacity to move on and forgive themselves without the person that they've harmed coming forth and forgiving them, and that's just not true. What is true is that there is space and necessity for you to forgive yourself.
Al, you get a lot of questions, I gather, from people about achieving atonement. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that, you know, out of ignorance, I didn't expect when I started this project. My background is not in prison reporting or criminal justice reporting. And we certainly get a lot of people who write in who want to talk about how they've been wrongfully convicted. And certainly there's people in prison who likely have been, but we get a lot more people who are grappling with how to think about and how to handle the thing that they did that got them in prison. And this is, you know, the conversation with Lisa Daniels, who went on to found a restorative justice organization following her son's murder here in Chicago. The conversation that came from, you know, questions we received from people inside, people who had questions about what does atonement look like from the perspective of a crime survivor or from a victim's family. You know, people wrestling with how to, when are you rehabilitated? What does it mean to be rehabilitated? How do you think of that? And all the ways you can talk about that, whether that's emotional or spiritual or political, you know, that is a huge, huge part of how people think about that. So, and I think it's a good example too. And what I hope the show can achieve and why we're doing Prison Cast, not only for folks, you know, where we're directly talking to folks inside and the big, huge, much bigger community of people affected by the carceral system, but folks who might not have any adjacency to it at all, might not know anybody, but, you know, it really is a window into a world that is designed to be invisible. And, you know, even if you're not in that community, I hope that that is something that people take away from and listening to conversations like the one with Lisa.
Yeah. Well, Pierre, I want to give you the last word today and on this subject of atonement. And I know you've written a letter to your children. We only have, maybe a minute or two to talk about this. But do you want to read a little bit of what you've written?
Yeah, well, it was written to me back in October 2005. And I'm trying to run through it real quick. It said, "Dear Dad, this is from my daughter. I received your letter yesterday, and I was very happy to see you receive my information. Even though we lost touch emotionally, I knew you were still there. I think about you often, wishing you were here to see how much I've grown. At times when I think about you, I look on the internet at your picture just to feel close. I still have your eye, nose, as everyone used to say, but I'm still better looking. I have cherished each and every moment we spent before we were separated. I am 16, not so tall. I do real well in school, but at times I get distracted due to family crisis. I participate in all types of sport, but basketball tops them all. I am athletic, and I plan to use my ability to get into college. While in college, I plan to study law, specialize in criminal law. I want to show that all people are not guilty and all people make mistakes. You are my father, and I love you, but I want to tell you I wish you had made better decisions. I wish you had been here to raise us and protect us from the hell Pierre, Tierra, and Kelly and I have faced since being shoved in the system. It gets so hectic that at times I feel you are the lucky one. You are the adult. We are the kids. You had choices, but decisions were made for us. When I was a kid, I stared out the window, wishing would come and save me from the pain I have endured. Disappointing memories of my past have caused me to express my emotions. But I just want to read just part of this letter and stuff just to say that it's always action. I mean, it's always the consequences to our action. And not only the victims suffer, but also our children and family suffer. They doing time as well. And I just want to thank you for being on this broadcast.
Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story with us, Pierre. The broadcast is called Prison Cast 2 to 4 this Sunday on NPR stations across Illinois. Alex Keefe, Ayanna Contreras, and Pierre, thank you all so much for being with us. And do tune in again 2 to 4 Sunday on your local NPR station. This has been The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.